The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So the fence isn't to stop them. What the fence does is allows us to respond and have a road to get there to respond. Because if I catch the dude at the border, I'm much more efficient as an agent than if I let him cross and then wait 17 hours and try to guess where he might come out and hope that I'm right on my highway that he might be coming out this trail instead of one of the other 50 trails.
Let's go.
Welcome to Citizen. We've got a special guest today, Sean Crandall from Crandall Fitness. And you're also, are you an active Border Patrol agent?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. That's rough.
Yeah.
Hard times out there these days.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of apprehensions.
I know, right? So give me some background. How did you end up in Border Patrol? What did you do? Like, where did you grow up? How did you get into the federal service?
So the first thing I have to say is that everything I say is my opinion. I'm not representing the Border Patrol, and that, you know, the Border Patrol didn't send me here, and I'm not
of course
a PIO.
They would never send somebody here.
Yeah, yeah.
I talk too much shit.
Or anything like that. Yeah, yeah. So it's all on me. So what happened is I met my wife. We moved to El Paso. She's from El Paso.
Mm.
And then...
Well, where were you? Where did you grow up?
In Northeast Missouri. So okay. I went to the University of Missouri.
Oh, you went to Columbia, right?
Yeah, in Columbia. Okay. Yeah, got a business degree. And then I met her, and I was like, I really didn't have much going on. I was a personal trainer. Mm. So I moved down to El Paso with her, and I was personal training, actually, and I started training some agents. And they would talk about, like, what they do and how much money they make and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. You know, they talk about BORTAC and other teams and how, you know. Then, of course, you apply and you see the video and they only show you the really cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They don't show guys out there cutting grass with a pair of hand scissors, like just snipping each individual grass.
Yeah, so you go that. And then I got in there, went to the academy, did that. That was 5 months long.
And where's your guys' academy? You said
in
before.
Artesia, New Mexico.
Artesia, New Mexico. And
we're hiring if anybody needs a job.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, that's...
We're down 5,000 agents.
Oh, my God, dude.
I think we're mandated 22,000 something. I think we're at 17. Our station when I was in charge was like... In war, whatever. I think I had 280 guys like on our little list to collect dues from. And I think it's down to like 141. I think either guys are leaving to go to other agencies, and we're having a hard time hiring people too. And maybe because they're like, I don't want to really live in a remote, crappy place.
Yeah, that one's a hard sell because you're going to end up in like Calexico or where you are, or Eagle Pass or something like that. It's not like there's a major city nearby for you to go hang out.
Yeah, like El Paso's like the place to like.
That's the best.
It's the best option.
How fucked up is that?
Because you could get Lordsburg, or Big Bend sector where you have, like, I mean, you can get into a town that's, I've done missions when I was on the MRT team where we go down to like Big Bend sector and places like that. And you go to a town that's 125 total population and 80 of those people are from the Border Patrol. And there's like, they'd be like, you go to muster and they're like, hey guys, you can go to the Pickwick and get food before you go up patrol for the midnight shift. And
Jesus
you're like,
Christ.
there's the gas station.
I mean, if your best initial duty station is El Paso, then you're going to have some problems recruiting that, regardless of what else is going on with the immigration stuff, that's going to be a problem, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the agents, I think, are from like, a lot of agents are from that area.
Oh yeah.
Like I didn't even know.
You're one of the only white dudes I know that's a Border Patrol agent. All of my, like I have 40, probably 40 or 50 Border Patrol friends. And I would say 80-90% of them are Mexican.
Yeah, I said that to somebody the other day on, because I think the Border Patrol did they're partners with the tactical games.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody was like, said something. I was like, oh, they hate Mexicans. I go, dude, like 90% of every agent I know is Hispanic. I like,
seriously.
I go, whenever I go out like back home and I'm around like a lot of white people, like this is so weird because I'm so used to being around Hispanic. Like, you're just so used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
And obviously they speak Spanish already, so it's a benefit to the Border Patrol to have guys that speak Spanish, right?
So your wife is from El Paso. What's she do?
She's the right. Well, she was in IT. She did like, she worked for a bank and she did like cover like 13 branches, did all the IT stuff, all the security and all that stuff. But now she's our COO.
How'd you guys meet? Fitness
on an airplane.
Oh, sweet. That's a
she was good flying story. Back from her cousin's or from her nephew's Marine boot camp graduation. Mm-hmm. I was flying back home from a different vacation and we ended up on the same plane and just I was in a different row, saw her, got up, sat next to her, just probably frowned upon.
This is like a Southwest
it was American Airlines.
Oh, so there was just an empty seat and you got into her.
I was on the row behind her. I see. And she was empty and I was kind of looking, you know, see if she had a ring or whatever. And I was like, I'll just sit by her and then started talking to her. And it was like a 30-minute flight. It was like from St. Louis to Columbia, like this little tiny 40-person plane.
Yeah, that's a puddle jumper. They say that men know within like the first 7 minutes if they want to be with a woman. Not sexually, just like in general. I don't know what that is. But it seems like you had a pretty good idea just from seeing this woman on an airplane.
Yeah. So we started talking and then funny fact, she actually got my number when we got to the airport and then we met up the next weekend, started dating, and then in my unlimited financial wisdom, I was like, I'm going to leave the house that I have and the job, because I was working for TSA at the time, which is super high speed.
Yeah, you're a Walmart greeter with a fucking badge.
So at a tiny airport that had like 2 flights a day with like 2 TSA people, and sometimes there was nobody on the planes. So I quit that job and...
Still pays the same, though.
You're right. Yeah. No.
I mean, you don't get like cost of living adjustments, but it still pays the same base salary, even if nobody shows up.
So I was like, I'm gonna move in with this chick, and so I had like a house and a lake and like all this crap. Because like in Northeast Missouri, like it's $2,000 an acre.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like,
I used to have a boat up on the Lake of the Ozarks for a long time, and it was Beach. Cool. Yeah.
So they're nice like, up there. Yeah. So even that's way more, you know, expensive compared to like where I'm from. Where you could go buy 100 acres for like $100,000 and have like your own plantation, you know, your own place. To, like my parents' house, we have like 1,000-yard range. My brother set up and that because they have like 2,000 acres.
They still live up there?
Yeah. My brother, 2 brothers, my sister and my parents live up there. And then my other sister lives in Colorado and I have another one in Wisconsin.
Cool. How long ago did you go to the Border Patrol
2009.
Academy? 2009. So you said...
April 20th, 2009.
I think you said before we started recording that you were doing personal training at the time.
Yeah.
And you were training some of the BP guys.
Yeah. And they were just talking about like, hey, you know, if you do this... And they would tell me like, don't get this station. You want this station. You don't want to sit on the line all day. Like
you don't want to go to Calexico. Nobody should ever go there, right?
Well, I think the California stations have a lot of action, but I think
they have a lot of action.
The cost of living is so high. You have to live so far away from the station that you're like, do you want to drive 2 hours?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you have guys that like are stationed in Lordsburg, which is, I think, 210 miles from Las Cruces.
Holy shit.
110 miles. And they'll drive there from Cruces. And then you have guys from El Paso, which is 30 miles on top of that. They'll commute that each way, like 150 miles. One way to go to work because they don't live in those remote stations. We were actually paying, I don't know if they still are, but they were paying a bonus if you would like $20,000 or $30,000 if you would take one of those stations.
I don't have a problem living in the middle of nowhere. I don't like seeing people too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, see, I grew up in my hometown's 250 people. Yeah. So like, that doesn't bother me. My wife's kind of more of a city person. So if I moved out there, I would just be divorced.
Yeah.
In 5 seconds. She's like, the grocery store is also the gas station. I'm going to kill you when you come home. Like, because you're off doing work. Like, if you're off working, you're cutting trails and you're chasing people, you're like, this is awesome. And then your wife's at home, like, I swear to God, when he comes home, I'm going to put one in his face.
I live in Driftwood right over here. And I think the population is like 130 or something like that. It's comically low, but it's in an unincorporated area in between. So this city right over here is Dripping Springs, and then this is Austin, right? So it's kind of situated right in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm sure sometime in the next couple of years they're going to come fuck my shit up, but for now, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, well, I saw they're building the interstate out here. I'm like, it's not going to take too long before there's 4,000 or 5,000 houses out here.
I know. Well, the fastest growing area in the city of Austin or the metro area of Austin is Dripping Springs right over here. And about 80,000 people drive up and down this road a day. So it's only going to get worse, you know. I mean, the good thing is we own this piece of property, both of these buildings right here, and they keep offering us money for it. And we're like, we'll wait. We'll wait until you get this fucking road built. And then sell it for like
double or triple whatever they offer you.
Oh, it's already over double what it was worth when we bought it. So yeah, it's gonna be good. But anyways, you guys have kids?
We have four.
So you can't have four. Well, I mean, I guess you could, but if you leave your wife and four kids at home alone in the middle of nowhere, she's definitely leaving. She's getting in on a, well, there's a lot Beverly Hillbilly out to LA.
Like, yeah. Well, there's a lot of dudes too that'll take like an RV over and stay like Monday through Friday or whatever their days off are. I mean, I've been there 15 years. Here's the problem with the Border Patrol. I've been there 15 years and I still have like Wednesday and Thursday off because I'm the second from the bottom on seniority, like on my shift, or fourth from the bottom, depending on the shift bidding and who gets bumped off what shift. Huh. Like, if you want day shift, if I go to like night shift, yeah, my seniority would matter. But on day shift, like to come out here to do this podcast, I had to take a week of annual leave this coming week. Holy just shit. So I could get the weekend off.
Well, I hope you're doing more than just this. This is not going to be worth a week of leave, buddy.
No. We did the little Austin thing. Yeah, I'll do some stuff next week or whatever. But that's just like what you have to do. Like,
yeah,
unfortunately.
So you guys are having
part of the problem too.
You get recruiting issues, but not retention for the older crowd, I guess. I mean, once you're that far into federal service, though, you're not leaving.
That pension's on the horizon. Well, you got the TSP and all that stuff, and so once you get seated, like I have 7 years left.
Yeah.
So and the guys at work are like, "Why don't you leave? You got the Crandall Fitness thing going; it's kind of blowing up." Yeah. I'm like, "Yeah, but like,
if you just hang on, you'll get free money for a long time."
Yeah, 7 years, and I'll keep my insurance because our insurance, like through that Blue Cross Blue Shield they have.
Yeah.
I think when I looked it up in the portal, you know, the Obama portal or whatever. In New Mexico, it was like to get the same coverage was like $2,500 a month.
That's a scam. And I think health insurance is a scam. You should look into Crowd Health, by the way. They're not a sponsor of the show, but I've had the CEO on before, and they do like there's two parts of it. One is they will find you doctors who take cash prices for stuff, which is on average about 10% of what it would cost for insurance. And then if something catastrophic happens, they'll like the people who are members of it will crowdfund to pay for it. Like somebody got cancer, he was telling me, and their bill was like $45,000, and they like the members who were part of Crowd Health just paid for it for her. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Like 5,000 different people just contributed a little bit of money, right? It's a really
like
good idea.
What is it? Public Square? Is it kind of like
conservative
kind of like
kind of thing? That,
yeah, because we're on Public Square.
Yeah,
with the fitness thing, but
yeah, it's cool. But anyways, yeah, that's
so once you're in, so well, if you've been in for 2 years, you're like maybe you're a 7 or a 9 at that point, not even 11. But like by the time you're 12-7 and you're like you're used to the paychecks, you're like I can't really leave unless I'm going to become an attorney or something.
And they still do like what, like your top three average after 20 or whatever.
Yeah, so top, it's your high three, and they just passed a law too and. December, I think they attached to something else, but it was like a border security initiative to give us funding or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they just gave all the GS-12 agents a big raise. Like,
well, I mean, look,
like
they've
12.5% or something.
They've been giving them time off that they can't take for the last 2 years, right?
Oh, we call them the Mayorkas days?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because we get them from Mayorkas.
Yeah. It's like, all my buddies tell me this, like, yeah, they keep giving me extra leave. But I can't cash it in. It's not like the military. So when I got out of the Army, I sold back a bunch of leave that I never took. And then I took 3 months vacation while still technically being in the Army on top of that, right? But you guys don't have – you said you're deficient. You said 5,000? So you're at 17 and you're supposed to be at 22?
Yeah, I think it's between 4,000 and 5,000. It's
That's huge, man. That's like
– for us, for an agency that's 22,000 people and you have most of your guys on the southwest border – it's hard to keep up the shifts.
That's like 20% deficiency. You know what I mean? That's bad.
Yeah.
Like that. And the point –
and they have to – so I think that was kind of like why they paid more because like, hey, we need people to like – one, to stay, and then we need new hires.
Yeah.
Because they even changed the protocol for new hires for your look. Like you can have neck tattoos and hand tattoos and stuff now because they're like – I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's just kind of how it is these days. Kids have tattoos. Yeah, you can't get around that. But it's like.
But I'm like, they're just kind of. And the facial hair, they let us have facial hair now?
Yeah, I don't know. You guys don't wear gas masks. So why wouldn't you be able to have facial hair? Like the reason they tell us.
I have one because I still have my gear from the team. So I have gas mask stuff. But they didn't. They still didn't. Like, they don't. I haven't even heard that brought up. Like,
when you say team, well, that, so the reason I bring it up is because the, in the army or the military, they say that's why you can't grow facial hair is because
you
can't get a proper seal, which isn't technically true, by the way. There's,
I've heard that too. Cause I scuba dive a lot and I'm like, if when I have a beard, I was like, I still have the beard when I go scuba diving. I haven't any problems with my mask.
Yeah.
It like, makes, it am makes I going over my right? lip? I mean, the gas mask covers like the one we have, like it's my whole head pretty much.
Yeah. It's
like, there's not a whole lot of,
it's dumb. It's real dumb. So you say,
so I was on the mobile response team. Yeah, so MRT, it's like the redheaded stepchild of like BorTech. And there's like BorTech and BorStar. Like you go to a selection and,
well, explain this. Cause I've had, I had Rocco on a couple months ago. BorTech is direct action, right?
BorTech is the tactical wing.
Yeah. And then BorStar is like the medical part
of it. Yeah. It's like the TAC med.
And then what's MRT?
MRT is like the redheaded stepchild of both. Mm. If they have like a kid.
So you've got medical staff on your team as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, everybody's got medics, but
so
you got
ours is like a cross train. So we, ours is a, what do they call it? Like a collateral duty. So I'm on the MRT team, or I'm an MRT certified.
So it's not a primary assignment then.
Right. So like BorTech, you can just go be BorTech Monday through Friday and like work out and shoot all the time. But MRT is like, hey, we, like when I first joined, cause I was on team one. Mm-hmm. So they used to have a team before called SRT.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of SRT, and then somebody in the Obama administration, I can't remember who it was, one of the women, was like, we need to bring back a team under BorTech and BorTech to do all the, like, the sector stuff. So mm-hmm. each sector will have a team. So they only had teams in the Southwest sectors. So we came in, did that. You go to McGregor Range, out in the middle of nowhere, right? I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. It's north of Fort Bliss. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
They have like a kind of like a Iraq base built, and you stay in the compound.
I think
that
the Air Force does a bunch of shit up there, don't they?
Like they have a big range out there for like artillery and stuff.
Yeah.
So we did that. That's 2 weeks long, and they go through the gas mask stuff. So then you get trained by BorTech and BorStar. So half of your time is range, and like learning the gas mask stuff and PTing and some, I think they do some CQB now and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And then you do like missions where you're like, go get rescue Randy out of the desert. He's being agent down. You run out there with your rucks. You know, they have your rucks everywhere and stuff. Yeah. And then the other half of the day, you're with the medical guys. So they're doing litter carries, and they're teaching you like how much blood you can lose and how to like use tourniquets. And so you get training for both. So it's actually pretty cool because you get a taste of both.
That's a really good idea, actually. I mean, so we do that too, though, in the Army. So when I was in the 82nd, we would go two or three times a year, we would go to, or actually they would come to us, Delta guys would come train us on alternate firing positions, direct action raids, all kinds of shit, right?
Yeah.
And then every now and again, SF and PSYOPs people would come in and do whatever. Like SF would do cultural familiarization, and PSYOPs would do like interrogation classes, stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty common, right? It's not a bad idea to have your day-to-day force at least somewhat cross-trained on how to fucking 100%. Operate and shit. You know what I mean? Because stuff get like it. The response time for you is 0 minutes if you're on the ground. For them, it might be several hours, at least some amount of time, right? And you don't always have time to fucking do that.
Well, so that's the thing they push like with MRT thing is like they should just make every agent like an MRT agent because you're like, hey, if you go to like we have an area called the Ranchettes. And we used to patrol that a lot, not as much now because we're so busy. But you would patrol that, and like it'd be you by yourself or you with one other guy. But you're like, you know, you get deep enough in there, you're a good hour from like a paved road. So like if something happens, like either you're on your own to fix yourself and get yourself out, or it's you and your buddy. And if he can't fix you and you can't fix you, then you're going to be super fucked because
no shit.
You're not going to get the helicopter response that you think you're going to get probably. Because with the agents, like we have a bunch of forward operating bases we used to man, but then COVID kind of shut those down. So
are they not bringing in like back in the day? What was it, 2005, 2006? That time frame, they brought in a bunch of National Guard from Texas, Nevada, and a couple other places.
Yeah,
to staff
they do,
those,
but they
like admin positions. So
but
you
they don't
to
get to be
field.
Armed. No, so those guys don't do. So when I got there to my station, those guys were doing like we get drug loads and stuff. Mm-hmm. They would dismantle the vehicles and like do the searches and stuff. So to leave us to check traffic and deal with people, and they would have them do that. And then they would run like the cameras, like the mobile vacus trucks and stuff, the infrared FLIR cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they would walk us in on groups. Or when I did stuff with MRT, you would go down and like, what we would do is we'd like supplement whatever force was there.
Mm-hmm.
But as like kind of like this end all be all. So like if we go to like South Texas, they're like, hey, you're going to help our guys do catch this group. And you're going to, we used to have this triangulation thing they would set up that would like have a radar and it would track where the aliens were and they could tell who was who.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this like this giant suburban full of crap you had to set up.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, I also got sent to like North Dakota. They had a flood and Minot. All of a sudden they have a bunch of roughnecks move in. They're like, we have a policing problem. So 30 of us went up there and they go into a room and the sheriff's like, do this, swear us in. Now you're sheriff's deputies. And dudes were doing sheriff stuff. So it's like, we were just like the, you know, whatever the federal, because it was like us, just ATF.
Gophers basically, right?
Yeah. Well, they're pretty much like, hey, you can just do all this stuff. So we're just going to like, not whore you out, but like this, they need FEMA will call and be like, we need armed officers. Who do you got? Like, we have 150 MRT guys. Where do you want them? And like, fly to Puerto Rico, fly to Hawaii, fly to North Dakota. I never got to go into cool places, just like South Texas and North Dakota mostly.
Well, I mean, there's a nuke base up there in North Dakota at least, so that's kind of cool, but you don't get to see it, so it's not that cool.
There wasn't, when we did it. We had a great time because we were doing all the cop stuff.
So yeah,
We're doing like some guy tried to kill a dude at a bar. He slit his throat. We got to deal with that dude. We got to go to like domestics. We're doing all this crazy.
This is like oil and gas people just going wild.
Yeah, mostly. Because the townie people are like, oh, God, we have to deal with fucking roughnecks. So we were like outside of bars and stuff, breaking up fights and doing all the fun stuff. And then, we do that. But then you go down to like, South Texas. But I think the main part of MRT was designed to like, hey, we have guys at their stations that know the areas they're in.
Mm.
Like this guy in Lordsburg knows Lordsburg. So if we have a bunch of incursions in Lordsburg, we'll activate those MRT guys or the guys from that sector and we'll send a team into the mountains there and they'll stay and deal with that. Cause that's what BORTAC used to do in Borstar. So they're like, hey, we can use BORTAC to do like warrants and other like direct action missions that probably are more pertain to their training. And we'll use these MRT guys to go sit up in a mountain for 3 days on a mountain team in Tucson and watch for these radio guys that live in the mountains that
you're just looking through FLIR to find spotters and shit.
Yeah. So they have a mountain team and they have a pretty cool mountain team in MRT team is what my buddy in Tucson was telling me. And he said that they get dropped in, like they'll fly them in helicopters and drop them on mountains. They'll be up there for like a week or two and they have like a whole team and they just go and find the spotters.
That's pretty dope.
So that would be cool.
That'd be fun. I mean, I do that in Montana, but we're hunting, you know?
Right. But they do a lot of, we kind of became like the medium between like the agent who shows up like and does their shift and rotates out. So like, hey, we'll fill in. Or like right now, if you're getting overran, like in a certain sector or whatever, they'll plug it with, now they have a sector MRT team where you can do that full time.
Yeah.
And it's like an 18 month deal or whatever. Yeah. And then they'll use you to plug, hey, this zone, whatever. And like, we'll plug it with MRT guys.
Well, you guys are getting a little bit more notice now because we're actually paying attention. We're using satellite to see the big caravans coming a week or so, maybe even sometimes longer, like two, three weeks in advance so you can set up for it. But it's just we're not going to get into the details of any of that because I'm going to say some mean things and then you might get in trouble. But let's talk about fitness, right? Tell me about how your like, how did you get into this in the first place? Because you were doing, before you got involved in any of the government service stuff or even your current company, Crandall, you were doing personal training, right? So I'm sure you were, as like a
just being,
fucking kid, you were
fit sports,
into it, right?
Sport. Well, I grew up on a farm, so I was like,
had to do something.
Fucking bales and doing 4-H and like pulling steers and doing that kind of stuff. And then playing sports. And then I got to college and I got some scholarships to play sports like basketball and like small colleges. I'm like,
you want to go party.
I'm already in a little pond. Like fish in a little pond. I'm like, I want to be big fish in a big pond. So I'll go try out for Mizzou. So I did those tryouts.
For which teams?
For Mizzou basketball.
Okay.
Like for the university basketball team. As a walk-on. And they're like, you're a little small for what we're looking for right now because all of our guards are like your size, but we need forwards and you're not big enough for that. So they're like, that's not happening. So I was working at like Circuit City when they had that.
Oh, that used to be a thing.
And all the guys were on the rugby team. So
you're aging yourself right now, by the way. Circuit City hasn't existed for a while.
Yeah. So then I started playing rugby, and then I fell in love with
it. It's club though, right? At Mizzou?
Yeah. Well, there's two clubs. There's the Mizzou club team, and they have a city team club. And they play each other, but yeah, one's associated with the college.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I don't know if the college like gives them any money or anything. Mm. Like they probably have to raise the money themselves, like
probably,
we did.
Yeah.
So I put on the club team because that's the guys I knew put on the club. They were called the Outlaws. They're still there actually, the Columbia Outlaws. And I started doing that for like 4 years, and I fell in love with that.
Rugby's pretty fun. I mean, it's like I've compared it in the past to because I. We fucked around a little bit at Fort Bragg playing that stuff just to, you know, because we're aggressive.
I used to play at the Fort Leonard Marauders.
Mm, yeah,
they have
so
a rugby
team.
The
fucking the camp and base teams are, I don't know if they're any good or not, but they're fucking violent as shit. You know what I mean? So it's fun to play, but I've compared it rugby, club rugby anyway, not professional. Obviously, they know what they're doing, but club rugby is like a mosh pit. You know what I mean? In this way, it's like it gets pretty hairy and violent. Everybody's moving around, but nobody's really a dick. You know what I mean?
Like it's
the only sport I see where, it, like, you get picked up off the ground by the opposite team on a regular basis. You don't see that in football much.
Yeah, I got punched in the throat a lot by Kiwis.
Oh yeah, they.
Oh my god! Because I played outside center, and they would like just punch me in the throat. Like,
yeah, that's gamesmanship for them though. That's like dropping an elbow into the lower back when you're going up for a rebound in basketball. You know what I mean?
It's but you do that, and you, so you get in a fist fight during the game. And the thing about rugby too is you got 30 guys in the field and you got one ref.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of self policing.
Yeah.
So like if somebody does a cheap shot, they'll just be like number 15, and then the whole team's like number 15, and as soon as number 15 gets the ball, that dude's not coming up because you can wear metal spikes, and you can legally spike people while they're on the ground. You can kick the shit out of them. While they're on the ground, so that dude's going to go down. He's going to get a beating during the game. But then as soon as the like whistle blows...
Yeah, it's all beers.
Then everybody hangs out. It's like, you could have just punched the dude in the face or whatever, and then like afterwards, like nobody's mad.
It's really funny, isn't it?
There's no hard feelings. It's super chill.
It's kind of surreal, to be honest. I remember I only fucked around a little bit, but some of my buddies played full-time on the Fort Bragg team, and I would go to the games and watch them and shit, go to the matches rather, and watch them. And that's exactly what it was. They would fucking brutalize each other, and then we would all just sit around drinking beers afterwards.
Yeah, no, it's I
think men just need to get it out of their system a little bit.
That was the first thing I noticed was like, because from playing basketball and stuff, you know, you play a team and they're dirty, and afterwards, like, you don't even want to, you know, you hit their hand, be like, hey, go fuck yourself, you know.
Yeah.
But then after, or football even.
Yeah, but that's because you don't get out any of your real aggression.
Right. Yeah.
One of those sports.
And, and then after that, you're just like, hey, we have a keg at this bar. You guys want to go? And then everybody, okay, and then we just go.
Yeah, that's fun. So you're in sports. What got you into personal training? Just wanted to do something to work at Circuit City, I guess?
Well, kind of like it was more like I was just training people for free because I was so into it. It was just more like getting other people to do it. Because I've had a home gym like in my parents' basement because not like really nice gyms like in the town I'm from. So I just buy stuff.
None of the 41 residents built a fucking gym.
Yeah. So like I just buy equipment from like where our school, because our school gym was also not very awesome. Mm. So I'd buy equipment like with our school had, and back then it was really cheap, and just put it in my parents' basement. And then I just had like a little gym downstairs. So like I just always had a gym all the time. And then we moved to college. We'd use a rec center like when I was in the dorms, but then we moved out into these duplexes and we had two of them side by side sharing like, you know, two garages, and we just put the equipment in the two garages. So we had like a leg garage and an upper body garage, and then we just would work out there and just kind of got used to working out all the time. And then when I went to the academy, I was like, I mean, the Border Patrol Academy, like I pretty much just went into the Border Patrol Academy without doing anything for it.
Yeah. Well, how is your, how are the facilities, the gyms and stuff, wherever you're stationed? Do they have stuff like, 'cause I worked for, I did intel for USCIS for a little while in San Francisco, and in the basement of the building, it's on Sansom Street in San Francisco, in the basement they had a decent gym because it was us and HSI and a couple other fucking, it wasn't that many
probably agencies with real money.
Ours is
in the,
you guys are like the Marine Corps, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you guys don't have any new shit ever.
Ours is the used stuff from the other stations, and it's in a shed. It used to be where they did the maintenance for the vehicles, and they built them a new one. So now it's just like a bunch of big bay doors. So we finally, like 7 years ago, I was a union steward, and we got them to get put a heater in there.
Oh, wow.
So that was
nice. Moving on up.
Yeah. So we had a heater now, and then we have the, you know, I don't know if you know what a swamp cooler is.
Yeah.
So they have swamp coolers for the summertime because, you know, it's like 115.
Good Lord, man. That's not enough.
But well, it gets cold, but like mostly just the weights get cold or the bars get cold, you know? Yeah. And you're like, it's just cold on my hands.
Mm. Spark gloves.
So they finally got a big heater that hangs out from the ceiling.
So well, I mean, when nice. So when are you just going to donate some equipment to the agency? I guess.
Well, we do. They buy from me, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, because there's no conflict of interest. We got approved, but there's no conflict of interest because I just bid like against Rogue and Rep and stuff, and since our prices are way better. And
yeah.
We've been doing so many.
You just have to get like an NSN number, right? You have to register as
and then they just bid. Yeah. So like last time we did like the CrossFit gym for Border Patrol, like at the sector, and we just bid, and of course it's the government, so it goes to the lowest bidder.
Oh yeah.
And since we're local, there's no shipping, and we just. And then,
at least for that particular contract, that probably fucked everybody else out of the, it's weights, it's heavy as shit.
If you compared I think ours to Rogue's probably 50% higher in price, you know?
Wow.
Because when I started, we were nobody. You know, we were selling stuff out of our garage and I was just selling to agents because that's who I knew.
This episode is brought to you by ghostbed.com/Drinkin' Bros. Ghostbed. It's the best bed in the world. It's the most comfortable. Sheets, pillows, the whole thing. I've got them all, man. And, you know, they wanted to extend their best possible offer to Drinkin' Bros. They've been with us for a very long time. So this is the email they sent us. We want Drinkin' Bros to get the best offer, so I updated the code for 50% site-wide. That's 50% site-wide. Use the code Drinkin' Bros. Drinkin' Bros with no G. For 50% off site-wide. Everything that you buy on this site is going to be 50% off. Again, they get the best pillows, sheets, mattresses. They get the mattress protector. If you're sloppy and spill things and you don't want to jack up your mattress, they have pretty much everything you need. They've got weighted blankets now. They've got the adjustable base, which we really like. I've got one in my home. So go to ghostbed.com/drinkitbros. Use the code drinkitbros for 50% off site-wide, and don't forget about their pay-as-you-go plan. If you're with approved credit, you're going to be able to pay this thing off over the course of 3 to 5 years for $25 to $35 a month. It's nothing. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkitbros today and use the code drinkitbros for 50% off. This episode is also brought to you by blackriflecoffee.com, the best coffee in the world. As a matter of fact, they won both the gold and bronze medal at the Golden Bean Awards this year for their exclusive coffee club entries in the elite category. So the best coffee on earth literally was Circus Bear by Black Rifle, one of their ECS. So I recommend that you go sign up for the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. And, you get all the benefits for being in the coffee club. You get the free shipping. You get access to all the partner deals. You get access to the exclusive coffee club. You get access to any new products that come out before anybody else does. You know, it's a very large club that they have over there, and the coffees are premium. Every single one of them is good. You're going to get experience for you. You can do just the plain coffee club, and if you want your two bags of espresso or your two bags of silencer smooth or whatever it is you drink, you can get those two bags or one bag or whatever you want every month. Or rather, you can use the ECS, the Exclusive Coffee Club, and get access to some of the most premium coffees on the planet and kind of learn what it is that you like. You know what I mean? So then you can order those premium coffees from Black Rifle as well. So, and we all know they got the best branding, the best merch, and they're buddies. You know, we're all friends here. We love Black Rifle. So go to blackriflecoffee.com, sign up for the coffee club, or buy something, do whatever you want. Use the code CITIZEN, you're going to get those points off.
We kind of blew up really fast because of the lockdowns.
Yeah, for real. I mean,
which was shitty for most companies and turned out to be good for us.
For a couple. So podcast did really well. Amazon, I guess. Like anything. Netflix. Anything that delivers to your house or.
Walmart delivery that became a thing.
Yeah, which is also
still amazing.
Anything that you can do at home. And it's good. I mean, look, honestly, a lot of people, because of the combination of being locked down, which we didn't really do that here. And even if we did, I wouldn't have participated. I don't like being told what to do. But anyway,
I think that might be an American problem.
Yeah. But a combination of like, it wasn't being locked down. It's just a lot of stuff was closed, right? For whatever reason or another. And then, a lot of people became deeply suspicious about government involvement in their life that hadn't been before, which is a good thing, I think too.
Yeah.
They started taking their health a lot more seriously. Maybe it was also because we saw that people who were obese were getting fucking schwacked by this virus, right? Like, yeah. If you're a fat piece of shit, you're got dunzo, buddy.
Yeah.
Which is the case not just for COVID, but a lot of health, like heart disease, fucking all that stuff.
And ironically, that still hasn't even been brought up as, like, a reason not to get, like, a booster shot. They're still not like, hey, you know, if you guys, like, work out, you don't even have a bunch of equipment. If you just, like, go run
for 11 minutes a day. Yeah. That's what the science suggests, that 11 minutes of vigorous activity, not even vigorous, just like a brisk walk a day will keep blood moving enough that you won't get like plaque buildup in your blood vessels in your heart and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty minimal effort, but it is good. Well, it certainly was good for your company, but I want to talk about more on the broader scale here.
Yeah.
I think it was good for the country that people started taking their personal health a little bit more seriously, right? Because we've, since the 1950s, completely butt-fucked ourselves with high fructose corn syrup and just processed foods in general. The food pyramid telling you that meat isn't all that important, that you should eat a bunch of grain like fucking poor people in the Roman Colosseum. It's like everything we've done, and low fat, high sugar stuff, all of this stuff has contributed to, we didn't even have to have the Black Plague or any of this other shit to come in and wipe out part of our population. We did it to ourselves by being stupid and lazy. For the first time in human history, we just, our stupidity and laziness got us, which is kind of fucking embarrassing, to be honest.
It's so convenient to just sit on your ass and have food delivered to you that you don't need to do anything. Yeah, no. And then the other thing too is like, people just like, it's hard, right? It's hard to like get up and go outside and do something.
But it's not.
Because you're like,
They think
it's hard because you're like, oh, afterwards I'm sore and I'm breathing heavy. Like, yeah, well, no shit. But then that goes away. But the thing is, like, you take
somebody. But diabetes doesn't go away.
Right. You take somebody that's never gone to the gym and you take them, and then you can do the lightest workout ever and they think they're going to die.
Mm.
So, like, well, as a personal trainer, right, you'd be like, hey, these first few workouts, I really got to tone it down because you don't want the person to go home and be like, I'm never going back there again. Because humans, I think, are so like, their body's like, I like being at rest and I like being fat and lazy because it's way simpler. So,
well, they'll tolerate like feeling kind of shitty every single day of their life instead of feeling pretty sore for a couple of hours.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things too is like, you take somebody, it's like, I need to lose 30 pounds. And you're like, okay. And then you go, here's a 30 pound dumbbell. And they're like, fuck, that's heavy. You're like, yeah, that's the weight you want to, like, that's how much extra weight's on your body.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that if you got rid of that, how much better you'd feel.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
Oh, shit. Because they don't think about, like, you just say 30 pounds, like, oh, it's probably, like, in my belly. You're like, just pick that up.
No.
Or 50 pounds. You know, the heavier, the better, right?
If you're 20-plus pounds overweight, that means you have visceral fat, right? Which is fat built up around your organs as well.
Exactly,
100%. That's where it really becomes dangerous. Like, we think of cosmetic fat a lot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've got some love handles, or I got some belly fat, or whatever the fuck. And look, that's not great either, but it's the visceral fat that really fucks you up. It's the fat you can't see.
It would be a great thing if you could go to your, like, doctor every year, and he has a machine, because that machine's up to the absurdly expensive.
Oh yeah,
but they can test, like, show you where your visceral fat is, and that would be an eye-opening thing. But the problem is, a lot of medical people don't know jack shit about health or fitness either.
That's true. No,
because they just regurgitate bullshit like you should get your vaccine or you should get this, and you're like,
well, they want to sell you a product.
Yeah. Or here, or oh, you want to lose weight? Here's Ozempic or whatever the hell it's called. Like,
enjoy diarrhea for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and then you'll lose like you'll also lose like 50% of your muscle and 50% of like your bone mass. Like, oh, I lost 30 pounds. Like, yeah, you lost 15 pounds of like your actual body that you need and maybe 15 pounds of fat, but they don't care. Cause like, I can sit here and eat chips and just pop this pill and watch Netflix is better than if I had to go like pick something heavy up. And it's not even like, the thing too is like, it's functional. Like, I know there's like the functional fitness, like CrossFit people, and I'm not a big CrossFit person at all, even a little bit, but it's like, if you can, like, as you get older, like, hey, I need to squat down to pick that thing up off the ground, or I need to bend over to pick up my suitcase from the escalators that comes down at the airport, like, that's a deadlift. The squat is like, I'm picking up like a pot to put up on the shelf. Like, all those
are overhead presses, picking things up over your head. I mean, it's
just, you're in the garage putting your Christmas lights away. Yeah. Like, all those are functional movements of our everyday life, and you're just doing them in the gym. Like, why wouldn't you want to be 80 years old and still be able to, like, put that up, or like walk your own ass to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, you better find ways to do it. Like, I'm sure your folks are going to be fine because they're still on the farm somewhere, maybe.
Yeah, no, my dad's not. No, he's not like that at all.
No?
No, my brother and sister and I are on his ass.
To get active? Constantly. How old is he?
He's 72. He's exactly 30 years older than I am. But we are on his butt constantly, and he's like, yeah, I hurt my shoulder like 30 years ago. Like, 30 years ago.
And he never went to the doctor for it, probably, because old dudes don't go to the doctor.
No, right? The farmer people never go to the doctor. Yeah, like, because he has high blood pressure. Mm. He has diabetes.
Well, those are things.
He did get hit by a car, though, a few, like, 5 weeks ago in a McDonald's drive. Not the drive-thru. He was walking, and some lady ran over him, and he broke his leg, but he was fine. I was like, well, Dad, you did die. You got hit by a car. Jesus, I guess you still got some muscle in there somewhere. Like,
well, those old dudes are built like fucking 1970s Cadillacs. It's all muscle, or it's all metal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, and stuff like that. These are all there are genetic markers for those things, which means you might be more predisposed than somebody else. But those are self-generated diseases. You have to do something to yourself to make those things become true about yourself, right?
Yeah.
Which is fucked. Which is not great, because it means people are doing it, but it also means you have the ability to reverse that shit anytime you want. And there's never a good or bad time to start. You just got to fucking do it.
Yeah. No, you can. Yeah. And then what I think is funny too is when people are like, I'll start January, or I'll start on Monday. Like, why don't you start on Thursday? Mm. Like, oh, wait till Monday. Like, you're not going to. You're just giving yourself an excuse to then keep doing bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, they make it's from whoever's making food or whatever. It just becomes so cheap and easy to eat shitty that you're like, well, if I got to go buy chicken breasts and I got to put on a skillet, and I'm like 45 minutes in, and then, you know, it's going to take like 45 minutes. Like, if I go through the drive-thru, I'll have it like in 4 minutes. I'll be done eating in 15.
And then I can sit there and do nothing for the other 30 minutes.
Watch Netflix.
Jesus Christ. I don't understand what happened to us that we're in such a rush to just get the stuff that actually keeps us alive and healthy out of the way so we can sit down and stare at a fucking screen. Like, for real. We will rush through. We'll do exactly what you said. We'll fucking order food or whatever the fuck. I cook every night. Like, literally every night. You can ask this dick over here. And it's not for 45 minutes. Like, he's
a nice guy. We like him.
He stays at my place sometimes, and I cook every goddamn night. And it's not 45 minutes or an hour and a half. It's like maybe 20 minutes of active cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that much shit.
I mean, if you literally get like a flank steak, it's like a minute on each side on a grill, and that's like in 5 minutes.
And then
like
you make some chimichurri in your fucking blender, and that takes another fucking 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, no. You know, you go into Rogan always says, like, you go in the grocery store, right? And it's like everything in the middle is the shitty stuff. Like,
yeah,
you shell on the outside.
Yeah.
It's just because it's so easy to like pop a frozen pizza in the oven.
But why do we crave?
I think that
easiness so much. I don't understand. Well, it does have MSG in it for sure.
Because easiness is because that's what we've been taught. I mean, look at, you're in the army, right?
Mm.
Look at the standards they've changed just in the fucking PT and like, probably the size of young gentlemen that are going in, and probably a body weight percentage. I mean, I was at the academy, and we had a dude come out of the Navy who came to the Border Patrol Academy, who literally got kicked out of the Navy because he couldn't pass the PT. They sent him to a month of remedial PT. That also didn't get him to where he can meet the center for the Navy. And I don't know what the center for the Navy – So when I was applying for the Border Patrol, I was applying for an officer to be in the Navy, too, to go to BUDS.
Mm.
And so they had brought a SEAL over from, like, Phoenix or something, and I met him at Fort Bliss, and we did, like, a PT test. So, like, that PT test that I did for that was not the same as the PT test just to get into the Navy.
Right,
yeah. So I'm thinking, if this dude can't even maintain the center to stay in the Navy, who is not being kinetic typically, you know, in the typical fleet people.
Right, yeah.
Like, how the you're in the military.
Well, you know,
and they change to a month of just getting yourself in shape and pass the PTS is not even that hard.
The Navy and Marine Corps are giving dudes like vitamin D and calcium shots when they go in now because they're so deficient on both of those things. And then this is kind of a meme or a trope or something, but we'll look at, people will post videos on the internet of like high school classes from 2000 or
1900. Oh, right, right, like 1950s. Like, why the guys like lifting.
Yeah, like why do they look like they're 30 years old in high school? Well, because the average 21-year-old today in 2024 has the same level of testosterone that a 65-year-old had in 2000.
Right.
Right. That's why they're children with no muscle on their body, which is dangerous because muscle is people don't understand anything about how fucking human biology works. And I don't understand why. I feel like we had some school on this. I don't remember in high school, like middle or high school, learning anything about how like the body actually works. Some of the mechanical stuff, but how like salt is Uber for water to get into my bloodstream.
Right.
I need those electrolytes to get water in my bloodstream. Lipids, fat are carriers, the same exact thing to get nutrients into my bloodstream. So if you're eating low fat diets, you're going to be fucking malnourished. Even if you're eating good food, you're going to be malnourished. If you're taking vitamins and you're not taking MCT with it, you're not doing shit.
Right.
And then pissing it all out. And then, like, but I didn't know that until fucking maybe 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah. And then like, there's the importance of protein, how like, everybody's like, oh, you're taking much protein, like a bodybuilder. Like, yeah, but you know what also does is, like, it helps motor neurons in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
It helps, like, lifting weights. Just, like, lifting weights in general helps bone density. Like, as you get older, like, 90% of women have issues
with osteoporosis.
Yep. Like, it's definitely a woman thing. And I've always read that's because, like, since they have their periods every month, the iron they lose hurts. Yeah. The bone density over time, whereas men don't really have that problem. Just like a men's multivitamin doesn't have iron in it because you get too much iron.
Well, if you think about like the ratio of muscle mass on a man to a woman. So a man to maintain muscle mass, especially if they're active, you need 1.2 grams of protein per pound of body weight a day, right? For women, it's like one, which is that's way off the ratio. It should be 0.6 to 0.7 for women, but because they lose so much on a daily basis because of that, especially after they have a child or two, they start to lose so much that you have to go all the way up to one. Or if you're a lean, like fit woman, if you're a CrossFitter or something like that, or what do they call them? Muscle mommies now, I think.
Yeah, they just stop.
If you're one of those,
menstruating, don't they?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, I think they just stop menstruating.
Yeah. So you have to like 1.1, you're almost up at a man's level of eating protein with way less muscle density. So it's like, and then
compared to guys now, some of those girls are probably more muscle dense than guys.
But building muscle like that is super important because, one, it keeps you thermogenic, which protects you against all kinds of fucking diseases and bacteria and shit, and also burns fat while you're sleeping, you know what I mean? And the other part is moving around like that. Think about the difference between a moving stream and a stagnant stream, the one that has fucking algae and mold in it versus the one that's fucking crystal clear. It's the same for a stream as it is for your bloodstream. It's the exact same goddamn thing. And if you're sitting around, if you're rushing through the thing that keeps you alive, right, like fucking eating food, preparing and eating good food, and then you don't go move around afterwards, you're basically just dumping toxic waste into a pond that doesn't move anywhere. And you're doing that for 40, 50 years until you get diabetes. You're like, oh, no, what happened, man? Are you fucking serious?
And then the other thing too is like, you know, if you just work, you don't have to even fucking do like a bodybuilder workout or CrossFit. Like, you just do a workout, like how you feel afterwards is so much, like the endorphins your body releases. It's like, I also like you to work out. Like, you know, it's like it's like your body telling you,
it rewards you.
Hey, buddy, I also like this. Yeah. If we could just keep this up, this would be really great for us. We could feel good all the time.
It's pretty wild, man. Just like, and it people didn't come. It's not, I don't want to just blame people for this because, the pharmaceutical industry, the hospital industry, the government, all these organizations are complicit and probably more to blame than the individual because they lied about everything fucking 50 years.
And if you keep kicking the goalpost farther down and making it easier to conform so that way you don't have as many obese people or as many people.
Well, there's not going to be somebody less customers.
Like somebody like, what the hell is it? the black chick that got mad at dancers for being obese, and she's like, really
Lizzo,
huge.
Yeah, yeah.
She got Lizzo, disgusting. Like this big ass chick, who's then yelling at her dancers for being big ass chicks, and they're like, this doesn't even make sense.
Well,
like,
she's walking around in high heels, aerating the fucking concrete. Why don't you calm down, Lizzo, you fat fuck?
But you're like, if that's what you look up to, then that's what you're gonna think is like, oh, I'm beautiful. Or if you have, I mean, even I think even Victoria's Secret had to admit they made the giant, giant lines of lingerie, and they're like, and they lost a shit ton of money. And they finally had to admit, like, okay, the giant line of lingerie we had, we lost money on. We're going to probably get rid of that because it didn't work out.
Like, no, they had to like put out a press release that was something to, I'm obviously using language they didn't, but it was like, we're going to have to start working with hot girls again. Because this is fucked up, dude. Like, we can't do this anymore.
Well, it was like, and not even that. It's like, so their problem is we're not making money anymore because we started using fat girls. Mm. And it's apparently guys don't want to see the fat girls lingerie doing the model things, you know? So you're like, I guess we got to bring back, because in reality, like, if you're going to buy stuff for your girlfriend or your wife, you're going in to buy it. So you're like, looking at the person, you're like, I think that look good on my wife. The girl's not really going in to buy the lingerie. Like, your market isn't girls. It's the dudes that are going to buy the stuff for the girls. So, like, if the guy is looking at your model, he's like, I am not attracted to that model and that look, then he's not going to go to you. He'll just go to Frederick's of Hollywood. Or he'll go somewhere else. You know, he's not going to be like, you know what? I would like to put that flag on my wife.
No, it's all, like, especially in the fashion and beauty industry, it's only aspirational marketing. That's the whole point, right?
Yeah,
you can't do that with fat dummies.
Well, look at Under Armour. Like, have they ever had a commercial where the dude's not jacked? Like, when they first came out, every Gatorade dude was juked.
Gatorade's been running commercials with fat dum-dums, right? But you never see like, Under Armour is the one, I don't know about Reebok, actually, but Nike does all the time. They're woke as fuck, but I've never seen Under Armour do weird shit like that.
Yeah, they always have Jack fucking, like, we must protect this house. It's like the biggest linebacker ever, you know. Reebok used to do the office linebacker dude.
Terry Tate. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, see, like, appeals to guys like, fuck yeah, I want to be Jack. Like, no guy's like, sees a fat dude in an Under Armour shirt and like, you know, I really want to look like that when I get older. Like, you probably grew up in the same generation. I was like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you had Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. I mean, my kids.
Just everybody from Predator, basically.
Yeah. You're like,
and Rocky.
I want to be a Jack dude that beats up people and shoots guns. And like, that was like the American thing. And back then you could also smoke and you didn't have to get yelled at. But
that's
like,
true, yeah.
Like, it's cool to fucking be a Jack dude. And now it's like, look at that meathead. So you're trying to bring I'm trying to bring fitness back and then try to appeal to like the rest of the country that's like middle of the road or moms, you know, like, hey, you can work out with your kids. Like, we do a lot of videos on our Instagram where my kids work out with me. My kids are 6, 8, 10, and 12 now. Well, by the, like, in a couple months, I'll be like 2 years, they're all 2 years apart. And they work out with me all the time. And right now they're in bulking season, right? So they're all eating as much as they can. They're like, I'm trying to get to 100 pounds. I'm trying to get to 125 pounds, dad. Like, but they see, like, cause they play football. They play sports. That's, you know, that's another problem I think that we didn't talk about is like how they've gotten rid of PE. So like when I was in school, you had PE every year and every day. My son's in junior high right now. He plays football. We do football, boxing, jiu-jitsu, baseball, and he does basketball. And I coach their basketball team. He doesn't have PE this year because it couldn't fit into his curriculum. I'm like, so how many other kids that probably he doesn't need the PE, but imagine the kids that need the PE, like, why would you take that out? So then the kids in their head, taught from kindergartners up, are like, physical education is not important. Like, this part isn't important to your life. That's why you have it twice a week for 15 minutes because you're in kindergarten, and you have it 3 times a week for 15 freaking minutes when you're in like elementary and then middle school. You may or may not have it. Like, how are you going to get that ingrained into a kid from when they're small? Like, physical education, like, well, in school they didn't think it was important, so I guess I don't think it's important. Well, it's so then you're an adult who doesn't know how to do PE.
It's the first 6 years of a kid's life, especially, where you imprint habits on them that'll last their whole life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what, like, kindergarten, first grade, second grade are so important for that. But even, like, all 4 years of high school, I had gym class.
Yeah.
Weightlifting,
where you're like lifting or you're doing
track, football.
Well, they used to have the president's physical fitness standard, right? Where you'd have to pass like a run, push up sets, all this crap.
Yeah, but that's racist now, I think. I don't know. It's something. I don't know what it is.
It's fattest.
Like, imagine, I really can't fucking track on the logic that says, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, so I'm going to let them slowly eat themselves to death. Like, literally. That's the dumbest shit I've ever fucking heard. Like, imagine imagine you do that to your children. Imagine you, your kids over there trying to jam a fork into the electrical socket. You're like, well, I don't want to yell at him. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden his hair is on fucking fire. That's what you're doing to these people.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I 100%. I don't understand I just don't understand, like, how you can take something that's so important away from, like, a kid when it's not their choice. Like, you, if you make them go to pee, they'll go and they'll like it. And they'll, not only that, like,
they'll bitch in the, on the front end. Then you'll ask them afterwards. Like, yeah, it was pretty fun.
But not even that. You build, like, that, like, from playing sports, especially, like, I think every kid, it's like they say we should do military service, right? Like, mandatory, like, Israel or something. Service, like, you should have them, you should be on a team. You should play on a team sport. It doesn't matter if it's fucking track or football or basketball or whatever, make up some dumbass sport. We have to be on a team for like one season so you can get the team of like having a coach and being disciplined and going to practice and working, like seeing this. And then you can decide if you want to do it. But like, they don't even make kids do, like, you don't even, like, a lot of kids don't do it. They'll go to college, like, never play a sport.
Yeah.
Never lifted a weight. And you're like, how?
And it isn't just,
what do you do in your free time? I know. Like, they just play games.
It isn't just the physical part of it either.
It's the
being in a competitive environment. Is going to, where you're working towards a common goal of people, that's good, right? And then the conflict that happens, so you learn low-level conflict resolution, so you can make eye contact with somebody, tell them you don't like what they're doing, and come to a resolution without having to fucking go stand in the street and stop traffic like an asshole, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, actually get involved, take personal responsibility. I'm going to, even though it's uncomfortable, look this person in the eye and say, hey, I don't like this. Let's find a way to fucking coexist here because this is bullshit. And it's from that's how we, without law, without interference from the government, in my opinion, maintain a cultural standard where everybody's on the same general page about what's polite, what's acceptable, and what's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and what you can say without getting punched in the face.
Yeah, because you should get punched in the face a couple of times growing up.
Yeah, well, like,
you should just, kids are dicks, you know?
Yeah, and even if you don't do sports, you could do martial arts, jiu-jitsu, or something like that. I think, especially for boys, at some point in your life, you need to do something where you have to take another kid your age and slam him into the ground, knock him on his ass, choke him, or get choked and be like, oh, I don't like that's this. You're not going to die.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
You get hit by a kid, you're not going to die. Or some guy shoves you on the ground, like, it's not the worst thing that's going to happen to your life. Yeah. Like, oh, there's a chance that I might get knocked on my ass in my life and I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to fall apart like emotionally. And
well, that's the thing, right? You should not, as an adult, you should not be afraid of getting punched in the face. Not because you don't think anybody would dare punch you in the face, but because you know that's not the worst thing that can happen. I can deal with that. I can handle the stress of life. That's fine, right? Because the less low-level stress you expose a child to throughout their fucking adolescence, the less stress they're going to be able to tolerate as an adult, and we're going to become weaker and weaker as a society. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah. Or anything. Yeah, well, I told my – that exact what you just told me, my son was doing the cold plunge stuff with us. So we've just been using a pool in our backyard because the pool's like 42 degrees.
Yeah,
it's perfect. So he gets in and he goes all three of my boys got in. And they're sitting
Rogan there. Was doing one this morning. He's posting about it on the internet, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, but it's colder outside than it is in my fucking pool right now. So what's the point?
It's cold as shit.
Yeah.
So we get in and he's sitting there and he starts to cry or whatever. I'm like, we're going to do 3 minutes, buddy. Mm-hmm. I go, just focus. And he's like, imagine if this is the worst thing that happens to you today. The rest of your day is going to be fine because this is obviously destroying you. And he's like, my feet, it feels like I'm getting stabbed. I go, I know, I get it. And then he gets out and he's like, you fine? He goes, yeah. I go, you want to go work out now? He's like, yeah, let's go. So, like, his whole mentality is like, okay, that's, like, the worst thing that's probably going to happen to me today. The rest of the day is going to be easy. So, like, goes to school and some dumb shit happens. Like, I don't really give a fuck about that because, like, that's not even as hard as what my dad did to me at home.
Well, life's all about perspective, right? If the worst thing that happens to you is that somebody says something in public, like, literally, we talk a lot of shit about the millennial generation and Gen Z and now Gen Y as well, or whatever the fuck it's called, whatever this new one is. We talk a lot of shit about these kids and how weak and not resilient they are, but we made them by not putting them through stressful situations as children. We are completely responsible. Children aren't responsible for that shit. How could they be? Like, our generation, older millennials, younger Gen X, we complain both about how our parents treated us and about the generation that followed us. Like, we've got to take some responsibility somewhere for this shit and course correct a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Well, because we can't just blame it on, look, oh, it's this, these guys, not me.
Yeah, well, I think it's too, like, it's your own mentality. Like, I mean, I'm a millennial, so, like, there was, like, oh, millennials are the worst, the first group. But you're, like, there's a group of millennials from, like, military guys. Like, you have guys that were in our group that obviously joined the military, like, at 9/11. Mm. And the guys that jumped in to do all these stuff and the guys that are police officers. But now, I mean, shit, I'm 42. Now there's guys that, like, we can't fill the border patrol. Like, police stations that can't get officers. Like, there are people that are like, I'm not doing that. There's a chance I might die. And I'm like, I go out and we're getting a car chase and you're going 140 miles an hour, 150 miles an hour. You chase somebody and it's a smuggler. And you're like, you look over at the dude and you got, like, the radio and you turn it up and you're like, fuck yeah, we're good. This is gonna be awesome. Like what's going through your head is you're like looking at each other. Like, the last time we were doing it, I'm on the radio and my watch commander was like,
welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, it's, you know, like, were you doing your taxes while you're driving? Because you guys seem so fucking calm. Because we were going like 145 to chase this guy, and I was like, yeah, we're going. Because you have to do like a report every so many minutes. So I'm like, we're at mile marker 120. It's 68 degrees. It's a beautiful sunny day, and we're going 145 miles an hour. The guy's still in pursuit. They're like, are you guys okay? No, we're fine. We're just and then you put it down, you're like, as soon as we pulled that dude over, we fucking right up there, dragged that motherfucker out, bashed him. You know, you're like, oh, yeah.
It's like that movie, The Other Guys, where Will Ferrell puts in Steely Dan while they're doing in his fucking Prius while they're chasing his way down.
Yeah. Well, that's The Other Guys, right? Where he was he's like, I think my SUV shit one of these outlaws. But no, it's like you have guys that are like, you get hyped up to go. And you know there's a chance that you could get shot.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing it because you're like, this motherfucker might kill somebody that's innocent. Yeah. Like, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to get into this shit with this dude, and it's going to be okay.
Mm.
Like we had a dude that got pulled over by state police. It was an HSI op. The guy killed the state police officer. He goes up. The guy's a gun. He's like, okay, get out. He comes out with one of those little mini ARs and plugs the dude twice. Mm. The state trooper goes down. It's on the dash cam. He goes up, execution style, gets in, takes off.
In the guy's cruiser?
No.
He got back in his own car?
In his truck, yeah. He comes out. He shoots him over the bed.
Yeah.
Poor dude, rest in peace. Basically what happens, HSI had an op, and this guy didn't know what was going on. The guy he was pulling over was way more dangerous than they led him to believe. He thought he was a regular, pullover, and it was not.
They had a bolo on him, and he pulled him over?
Well, as soon as he gets shot, within a few seconds, boom. Kitted out dude show up in an SUV, jump out to help him, and they go off chasing.
Shit.
So he goes into Las Cruces. He's going eastbound from Deming, New Mexico, to Las Cruces. You watch this dude. So my point is, all these guys are chasing this guy. They know what kind of dude he is, and all these cops are like, yeah, let's go get some. Like, this dude just hurt one of our guys. He's coming into town. We're not going to let him hurt anybody in town. And they're like, we're going to get some. So Las Cruces PD guy, he pits this dude. You can see the video on YouTube. He pits this dude. The guy's truck starts to spin. I don't know if I can get up, but he starts to spin. As it's spinning, his door opens. He walks out of the truck, engaging as the truck is spinning behind him.
He gets out and he's like, doo, 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 onto this LCPD guy, gets hit in the shoulder. He returns fire. Marshals, Dasso, Doniana County Sheriffs, Las Cruces PD, Border Patrol, everybody shows up and they just, I mean, they killed the fuck out of this dude, right? But you watch that video. A guy happened to be on the frontage road and you see him step out and that car's moving and he's engaged while the car's, it's like fucking John Wick and he's like.
Well, that happened in, what was that movie? Red, remember that? With Bruce Willis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you see it on this kid's phone video. If you look up on YouTube, you see this killing. I was like, Jesus.
What do I search on YouTube to
find
this?
If you search on YouTube, it's a New Mexico State Trooper like shooting in Las Cruces or shooting in Dimming. It's a Las Cruces PD Camaro. It's like footage of shooting in Las Cruces, state police chase, something like that. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I found it. All right, I'll check it out after this.
Yeah, but he literally just steps out and the truck's still moving and you're like, oh fuck. That dude's like not just like a rig. So he was going there to do a buy bus for meth or something.
I see.
But you know, whatever. Yeah. It's not HSI's fault.
Well, no, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. That's the thing. It's like, you remember Saving Private Ryan? Well, they come across that machine gun position and the guys are like, hey, let's just go around this. And Tom Hanks' character's like, no, because then they're just going to tear up the next group that comes through here. Yeah. It's you can't do that. It's putting shopping carts back where they come from. It's fucking picking garbage up off the ground. It's helping people around you that need it. That we've, to some degree, we've lost that instinct to take care of the people around us. And it's I don't know what it is, to be honest. It's made us like that, but it's not great.
Well, hopefully there'll be a generation of people like, I want to say like the public square type people that are, and you guys and this podcast and like similar podcasts where they're going to be like, hey, I like it resonates. What those guys say resonates with me. You can't just be like a society of me, me, me.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have firefighters and cops and paramedics. Because like, who the fuck wants to make $18 an hour to drive around a fucking ambulance and get possibly shot at if you go to a domestic, like, or be a fireman and show up to some scene and some guy takes pot shots at you because he's fighting with his wife and he lights the house on fire. Like, you don't want to do that for shitty pay unless you're the type of person that like that's what you want to do. The amount of people that want to do that I think is dwindling because people are like, oh, I could die, and everybody's like self-preservation, whereas like when I signed up, the first thing I thought was like, man, we're gonna get these back, like we chase somebody, it's like, oh, we're gonna get this dude and we're gonna get this guy off the street, or we show up to a wreck and you go over, you're like, we're gonna save this person, we're gonna pull him out of the car, we're gonna do this, like you get hyped up to like protect people because it's like this instinct inside of you. And I don't know if that instinct is, I assumed it was like hereditary, like the human species, like as a man, like that's kind of like, but maybe that's not true. Cause I think some guys like don't have it. They're just like, yeah, I don't want to do conflict.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about, we were talking about the sports and stuff early on is like you learn conflict, like the conflict's okay.
Yeah.
It won't kill you. And that you can get into a conflict and still be, have your wits about you and like solve problems and like, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to teach people from a very young age that there's things that are there are things that are worse than pain and death, right? Like you're going to die. There's no question about that. The mortality rate for everyone on a long enough scale is one. You're going to die. There's no question about that.
Well, it's like what I say about Border Patrol agents, like, just hit on that real quick, is when I talked to Aunt, like when I did the other thing, the other podcast, I'm like
cleared hot. Yeah,
cleared hot. People think that we're like a bunch of racist fucks that hate illegal aliens and hate like minorities, and like 90% of the Border Patrol are minorities. Yeah. And who the fuck do you think are like, these people walk the desert for 5 days after they walk for a month through Mexico? You think the people in Mexico, like they're getting raped, they're getting beat up, they're getting robbed. Like those people in Mexico don't give a fuck about these people.
Yeah.
They come over here. Who do you think picks them up? We pick them up. We're the ones who find them in the desert. We're the one who brings them food, bring them water, get them medical care. Like the Border Patrol are like the nation's largest, well, law enforcement, like border law enforcement, but also the largest border like paramedics.
Yeah, it's like an NGO almost at this point.
Yeah, like we're the ones who are, like we literally send dudes out. Like we get calls at our checkpoints and like when you're on patrol and they'll be like, there's a lost person. He called 911. His cell phone died. Here's the last coordinates. And we send agents to go find that dude. If we hated them, we'd be like, nah, fuck that, dude. You can just die. Like, no. Like, there's a family out there. Go get them. And they'll send everybody to go get this fucking family. Like, send the ATV unit. Send helicopters. Like, we're not just like, and then like as far as like separating families, and we, I mean, I'm sure stuff we can talk about, but like, we're not separating families from their real families.
We're separating
dudes from little girls that they bought from another person.
Yeah.
Because we're also in the business of like protecting these little girls from predators.
Yeah.
Because we don't want, we're not going to be like, oh, that's your daughter? Ask him some questions like, that seems suspicious, but I guess it's fine. We'll just let him go with it. Like, no, we're going to be like, okay, fuck face. We're going to separate you. Yeah. We're going to talk to this little girl, find out what the fuck's going on, and then we're going to get you away from her because you're a shitbag. And that's also our job, not just.
There still hasn't been anyone real. I know some people are kind of working on it. So Rocco did a thing where he went down to the border and filmed a bunch of shit. But there still hasn't been real expose reporting on the pathway that these unaccompanied minors take. You know what I mean? Especially the little girls, but even the little boys. It's like from apprehension to ORR, and they end up in a fucking stash house getting gang raped and fed fucking opiates like fentanyl and shit to get them addicted to drugs for 2 weeks, and then they get sent out to random places throughout the country. This isn't there are families who come over here, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of the kids that are coming over here, they're not families. They're not with families. They're fucking coming over here to get sex trafficked into our country. Like, this country, we talk all this shit about how we're the best country in the world and protecting people and protecting kids and shit. And we are not doing the job very well, in my opinion.
Yeah, we actually busted a stash house that we had a lot of females come out of there. And we were finding them like through smuggling loads or whatever in cars. And they were like, it was like a rash of girls with broken legs and backs. And we were like, the fuck is going on? So then we have an alien smuggling unit, right? And they're still looking into it. And I was at the hospital watching this girl, and she had like a shattered ankle. And what had happened, I was talking to her, and she said, what happened is they were on the fence in El Paso. And I guess this has been happening where she got scared and they just shove her off.
Oh yeah.
And so she hit the ground, broke. Yep. So this one crew was doing this a lot to these females. So that's not even the worst part. Then she goes from there to the stash house. And yeah, she said she was there for a week and they just raped the shit.
It's like
out of her.
It's 7 to 14 days. They get gang raped and fed intravenous drugs mostly the whole time. Just like turning out a fucking prostitute. Like in an inner city or something.
And it was a rash of the same, it was the same guys in the same group that all these injuries were coming from. The girls with broken backs, broken hips, broken legs. I'm like, so they were just chucking chicks off because they were getting paid. As soon as she hits the ground, they get money from whoever the other media area is.
Yeah.
So they just wanted them over.
Yeah.
You know, and if you had enough agents, like people always bitch about the border wall. Like, you don't need a border wall. I'm like, the wall, like, it doesn't stop anybody. Like, the wall is not to stop anybody.
No.
Like the wall doesn't stop anybody.
And what was the cost going to be? $4 billion? Do you know how much we could put tech and people down there and stop this shit? Or at least make it so unprofitable that they'll do something else.
Right.
Like, well, we're going to move more product instead of people now or something, right?
Yeah, but like, I would still, like, I'm pro wall, but not because it stops. It's more like, if you have a wall.
It's a layer. It's a layer of defense.
If
there's a good book called Defense in Depth. I don't know if it was, God, who wrote that book? Let me look it up right quick so you can, Defense in Depth. I read it in college. Fuck, I'll have to look. It's not coming up right now.
Yeah.
But one of my bachelor's and my master's degree is in security management and international border security, homeland security, right? So Defense in Depth is exactly what it sounds like. It's fucking, it's essentially a serpentine with fucking Jersey barriers, right? Like, I'm going to make it a little bit more difficult for them to come through here with multiple layers of fucking security. That way they'll fuck off or they'll go do something else. You can at least funnel them into one spot that's easier to defend.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because we have a lot of area, there's no fence. So like when you go to a forward operating base and you're stationed down there and you're trying to guess the route they're going to take when they cross over this like five chain link, not chain link, but like five barbed wire, like cattle fence. You're just literally guessing. You're in an area that's 50 by 50 miles, and you're trying to guess where the trail they might go through. My point of, like, if you build an entire border wall is, what comes with the border wall? Mm. It's a service road. So now all of these impassable mountains that we can't drive down to, at least you can have an agent that can respond to the area. So the fence isn't to stop them. What the fence does is allows us to respond and have a road to get there to respond. Because if I catch the dude at the border, I'm much more efficient as an agent than if I let him cross and then wait 17 hours and try to guess where he might come out and hope that I'm right on my highway that he might be coming out this trail instead of one of the other 50 trails.
What do you think about, like, a lot of people are kind of, a lot of people have been lobbying to get the military down there to do some shit, like, to, like, not apprehensions, but anti-cartel activity more so, right? Like, maybe even pushing to the south, to the Mike side of the border, to do some operations to disrupt the cartels. What do you think about that?
I mean, that if they're in Mexico and doing stuff like that, that'd be great. I mean, I'd rather just them send in, like, a squad and to drop it on, like, every head of cartel. I'm sure that they have intel, like, where they live. Just drop, like, a SEAL team or a Green Beret team into each house and take them all out and be like, every time a new head pops up, this will be the response from the United States. So you can either do this, and we're going to find you and kill you, or you can, and then it might trickle down. Because there's no way, like, if you, so we catch smugglers. At one point, we were catching at my station by itself with 24 guys. We were catching 10, I think it was, for the high, like 8 to 12 smuggling loads a day with very limited people. At one station.
So who knows how much was actually probably double that.
How many stations there are that are also, like, right now? I heard yesterday that I think Arizona, they're catching like 15,000 bodies a day. Like, and you have 80 guys dealing with that. Like 80, like, cause you, like, if you're in a place like that, you might catch a group by yourself of 100 dudes by yourself, right? And you're like,
what happens when they start coming over with fucking AKs?
Yeah, well, that. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you can drop in troops and, like, because they can't be active right inside the United States,
Posse Comitatus, yeah.
Yeah,
that's although a law. They can't, so National Guard can. So the Texas National Guard has been down at the border. There have been some legal battles, actually, between that. Yeah,
I've been seeing that with Border Patrol guys.
But now there's, as of last week, our governor here has gotten pretty, he's gone pretty hardcore. I think the Texas National Guard is actually pushing Border Patrol off the border in some places.
Yeah, there was like a 3-mile stretch.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, that's to me, because you had the Border Patrol Union, I guess, stick up for them and be like, yeah, that's fine. Go for the National Guard. Yeah. Because now the guys that were there can now go patrol somewhere else. It's not like the Border Patrol is going to be like, the boots on the ground guys aren't going to say, we don't want more help. What we need is less help and less people. Whatever. Yeah. Like, that's no guy stupid. That's like a gun on the ground that's making an arrest is like, I wish I had less backup.
Yeah. No, that's dumb. But it is out of control. Before we get out of here, though, like, this is all super interesting stuff. People just don't realize how bad it is on at every level. Like, they don't understand what the average Border Patrol agent's going through, being in a small unit, underfunded, probably haven't taken a lot of vacations the last couple of years, if any, right? Get capped out on overtime pretty quick in the year. And then you start just getting comp days and shit. It's like, all right, cool. When the fuck am I going to take these?
Well, our new Border Patrol thing is the overtime is all comp days. There's no more overtime. For Border Patrol, there's no more overtime. Customs, I think.
This is the same way, overtime. By the way, that all of the 1811s, what year was it? 2019 or 2020, with all the UN stuff that was going on, they all got capped out. It was during the 2020 election, actually. They all got, there was a UN thing and the 2020 election. And they all got capped out on overtime by like March of that year because it was campaign season. And they were doing details for everybody. They were pulling in people from like DEA 1811s who are not direct action or close personal protection people. They're investigators. They go do inspections on like blast sites and they fucking investigate gun stores and shit like that or illegal trafficking across the border. They don't fucking do any of this stuff. And they were getting pulled into DC and New York to do close protection details and not even getting paid for it. They didn't get paid.
We have federal air marshals and stuff down at the processing centers right now. Like guys from New York City, they're like, I like protect trains, like the subway systems. I'm on a team that does that.
I don't speak any Spanish. He's
like, and now he goes, I talked to a dude, he goes, they told me you can pick when you go or we're going to tell you when you go. So he's like, so I pick now because there's no like holidays coming up. Yeah. So he's like, so I'm just down here like processing like,
that shit's fucking wild, man. People just don't understand how bad it is. They don't understand how many kids are getting trafficked through this country right now. And not just kids, but adult women as well. But a lot of kids.
My personal, if we have time, my personal opinion solution would be you funnel them into an area. This is just my opinion, right? Not the Border Patrol. You funnel them into an area because you know where you can beef up Border Patrol and where you can.
Yeah, yeah.
You funnel the people that are crossing, if you're going to let them cross into an area, you get them in, you roll them, you fingerprint them. If there's no criminal history, you put them on a bus, you drive them to the nearest airport on a C-130, and you fly them back to wherever they came from. Mm. And when you do that a few times, they're going to be like, this is really shitty. I thought we were going to New York. Because what's happening is they come
ERO
over.
ERO was doing that for a while, right?
Yeah. Well, like, no. During, I mean, I don't know.
But during Trump, the ERO
so
was
now,
like.
So now, if you go to New York and you have 50 cousins in Guatemala, you're going to call and be like, hey, dude, if you cross over, they're going to give you money and they're going to bus you to New York City. And then New York City is going to pay for you to stay in this hotel and they're going to give us food. But if you start flying everybody back on C-130s to wherever they came from.
Like shitty, loud ass C-130s.
Yeah, they are
going to
be
yeah.
super pissed off that they just wasted money and time doing that. And you might get somebody that's like, you know, I'll try it one more time.
Yeah.
You get flown back in. Those phone calls going back and forth aren't going to be so excited about coming to the United States anymore. They're going to be like, okay, this is really shitty because these assholes keep, like, Border Patrol guys keep flying us back. Yeah. Like, this isn't cool. I thought we were going
to
get like a free
ride. Because they're paying like 15 grand. To get over here, right?
Or it depends on where they come from and which
like
cartel they use. Yeah,
or indentured servitude or something,
yeah,
right?
It can be 1,200. Yeah, for the women. For sure. It can be like 1,200. I've heard as low as $1,200. During COVID, it got super cheap.
Yeah.
But it can go up to like, 15 grand.
Yeah, it's
but like
it's
I said,
wild.
If you go and all your phone tree is like, this is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And we're using the same guy's house to claim that he's taking care of us. And we're using that address. And, you know, but
I mean, I've seen some of these reports. My buddies from Border Patrol sent me these reports where 8, 10, 12 unaccompanied minors go to the same quote unquote aunt's house at the same address. In like San Diego or something, like, I don't think so.
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with the unaccompanied minor side of it so much. I deal with mostly like the adults. Like, we get a lot of the smuggling groups already, like they've already been from the stash house or whatever. Yeah. We get a lot of males like in our area. But yeah, I'm like, you start just like literally like have a fence set up and they cross over, and you put them in an area and buses just drive them to the airport. And they start flying back. They're gonna be like, it kind of take the wind out of your sails. Yeah. Like, man. I thought we're not getting this. Like, fuck, I'm not going back.
I was thinking about building a giant catapult and just launching them back over the border, but I don't think you could do that. Maybe if we put parachutes on
them. I'm sure
it'd
be frowned upon. this is frowned upon.
Before we get out of here, I want to talk about your company, though, Crandall Fitness.
Yeah.
What made you decide? So you guys sell gym equipment, basically.
Yeah, power racks, bars, benches, dumbbells.
What made you decide to start that?
Well, we wanted to start a gym. And then we were getting ready to do that and had a place. And then COVID and I'm in New Mexico, so that's like little California. So they really hammered like everywhere. And they're like, well, that's not going to work. And I literally just hard-rided into equipment. We just started getting some and selling it out of our garage into like other agents and people that we knew, like mostly, you know, like that kind of circle, like law enforcement, military guys, like they kind of hang out together. And then it just kind of blew up because of COVID. And we were in a warehouse first for a year. And then all of a sudden we got a retail store. And then the next year we have two retail stores, and now we're doing nationwide. And then
just opened one up here in Texas too, right?
Yeah, in El Paso. Mm. Yeah. So that'll be the farthest, like the retail will stop there.
Yeah.
Because we do free shipping.
Yeah.
So there's no like, it's not advantageous really for me to expand and try to like franchise the stores out really when I can just ship anywhere in the United States for free.
Okay. And what kind of products do you offer?
So we do like power racks, bars, we have Olympic bars and power bars, bumper plates, regular weights, dumbbells, adjustable benches.
You got cable systems and shit?
Yeah, functional trainers, lat pull down, low rows.
What about rowers or anything like that?
We don't have any of the cardio stuff yet.
Okay.
Mostly because I don't do cardio.
Gay, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. I just don't do cardio. No, because like there's so many parts on those, the computer screens and stuff.
They're also hard to source. Like some of this stuff... There are 50 and 20 different companies that make it, and it's easy to go out into the market and get a good price on it so you can deliver a good price to your customers.
Yeah.
Some of these pieces of equipment, like rowers, there's only a couple of companies that even make those goddamn things. So they're all, if you go look on the internet for rower costs, they're almost all the same price or higher,
right?
Yeah,
because they're getting about the same price. Yeah. But yeah, so mostly we just did that because we're so small. Like, it's me and my wife, and we have 6 employees.
Oh, wow.
So there's only 8 of us. So we're running this.
And you got 3 separate places, and you only have 8 fucking employees.
Yeah. We're pretty efficient with our time. Well, I also do a lot. I do a lot of that when I'm not doing Border Patrol stuff. So we're pretty busy as a family, and my kids know how to package pallets and band and wrap and they know how to do UPS labels, and they're pretty efficient.
Yeah. So you've got slave labor is what you're saying. I knew something about that from my childhood, working at my dad's body shop.
It's the farm mentality. If you have a bunch of kids, then you get free work.
That's right, yeah. That's what it was all about.
Kids that can drive tractors.
The 19th century was like 8 kids, 8 employees. Here we go, buddy. And we've got that's over the course of like, you've got peak workers for 12 consecutive years, essentially, right, if you space it out right.
Was my older brother... It was my older two sisters, then my older brother, then me, my little brother, and my little sister. I'm like, you can drive a lot of tractors and trucks with grain and hay bales with that many people driving around and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's also good for the kids, though, because you can get a farm license at like 12 years old, depending on, well, I don't know about Missouri.
No, ours it might be is 14. Still like 15 for the
It's permit. 15? For You can't for get a farm license at 14 there?
No, that's like, I've heard that like maybe Iowa, like South Dakota, North Dakota, like those, but Missouri is...
North Carolina, South Carolina, you could do it. Pennsylvania, you could do it. There's a lot of states.
Yeah, Missouri's like, no. But you can drive a tractor on the road.
That's true.
Also, the chances of like, if you're out on your farm and you're driving a truck, the chance of like a state trooper or a deputy out there is not going to happen.
Well, if you see one, it's probably like one of your relatives, probably, right?
Yo, my brother was a sheriff's deputy for a long time. So.
All right, cool. Yeah. We got to get out of here, but tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, if and you go find on your company. Our website's crandallfitness.com with a C. I think it's on here. But if you go to our Instagram, that's probably where we do the most content.
Okay.
We have a YouTube channel too, but it's just crandall.fitness on Instagram.
And that's crandall.
Yeah, and we do a lot of content on there, like new releases, giveaways. We do a lot of stuff. We partner with Black Rifle. Mm-hmm. We're on Public Square. We do try to make podcasts and our YouTube channel stuff as we can and spread the word. But, yeah, we're all about helping people get a fit, especially at home.
Yeah,
you can do it with your family because you have a lot of – where I'm from in the Midwest, you have a lot of non-city folk that are like-minded as I am. That would like to just be self-contained and maybe not have to go into a public gym or deal.
And if you're lucky, somebody will fucking buy a place and start a gym in your area, but you can't count on it. Like, it's this stuff is easy.
It never closes if it's at your house.
Yeah,
it's not closed on holidays.
And you have no Christmas fucking excuses either. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you walk past that door every day, like
it's like fuck.
Shit, I just spent money on that. I should probably go in there. And we do free shipping nationwide, so.
And you guys have better prices than pretty much. Anybody I've seen, so that's good news as well. So go check
and
out,
and it's all commercial stuff. We don't sell we don't have any home gym quality.
Oh yeah,
shit.
Like shitty Chinese.
Yeah,
like,
it's all
clip this on the back of your boots and do
it's
curls.
All, it's all commercial grade. Like yeah, you can.
All right, cool.
Run. Well, I have a lot of videos on YouTube where we try to break bars with like our forklift and stuff, and has never been.
We should bring some equipment down, and we'll try to blow it up.
Yes. That's going
to
be our next.
I just like to blow shit up, to be honest.
That's going
to
be our next YouTube video. We have a range out there. I've got a.
At your brother's
pretty significant,
place?
No, at my house.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We have a pretty significant collection of firearm and Barretts and stuff, and so we're and some Tannerite, and we're gonna see how.
I'll tell you those standard plates that are either epoxy or something else covering a concrete shell. They splinter real nice with high caliber rounds. It's really fun to shoot them, to be honest. Oh, nice. Just so I don't know if you've done that before, but it's
ours are steel, so we'll see.
Steel all the way through.
Well, I've got some armor piercing incendiary rounds for my Barrett.
Okay, so there we go.
Is we'll it see a, how many of those
that'll work.
Can go through.
Yeah, 105 will work for sure. Yeah, actually, that would be kind of a interesting.
I have the 82 test. A1.
You got an 82, so just like stack a couple of 45 plates and see how many you can pop
through.
Yeah,
exactly. A bunch.
That'll be fun. Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that. All right, well, cool. Thanks for coming today, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody go check out crandallfitness.com. Check them out on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thank you all for listening. This has been Citizen.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.